John chapter number 14. We're not going to stay there a long period of time. It's going to be a little bit more of a topical message, so we're going to be bouncing around a little bit in the Word of God. Then John chapter number 14. Of course, this is a familiar passage of Scripture to many, and it's something as Jesus has just told his disciples he was leaving. Jesus has just told his disciples that one of them is going to betray him, and that Peter was going to deny him, and that he was getting ready to leave and getting ready to be crucified. So this is a very traumatizing time. You imagine following Jesus for this 3 years, and these 11 men are hearing this, and they're thinking he was supposed to be the Messiah, and what is he talking about? A little bit of upheaval, hey, what's going on? I'm looking at beginning a little bit of a series, and I wasn't planning on starting it this morning, but the Lord kind of told me I needed to. And as a preacher, sometimes you love the fact that, you know, he tells you, hey, I want you to preach this. You just wish he would do it more than just a few minutes before he lets you preach, or before a day beforehand. He gets kind of clue you in a little bit. But the series is going to be called A Biblical Worldview During These Times. A Biblical Worldview During These Times, because there's a difference in the time that we live in today that's unlike any other. I know on Wednesday night we said there's nothing new under the sun, but most people believe that are Bible believers believe that we're living in the last days. At least we're getting closer than we've ever been before. And with that thought pattern, how are we going to live? You look in a world today that with riots and protests, there's not much peace there. You listen to people talk, you listen to people, you listen to radio, you listen to the TV, you listen to Facebook, whatever it is that you're listening to, doesn't seem like there's much hope either. And there's also, who do you trust? I don't know about you, but I look across the world today and I'm thinking, okay, with the virus, so what side are you going to believe? What truth are you going to believe? Do they even know what they're talking about? And there should be a different group of people. Now, there is people out there that are going to be rioting. There are going to be people out there protesting. There are people acting like they have no sense because they are acting like they have no sense because they don't know who God is. And then there are people out there that believe that everything's bad, everything's horrible, nothing ever going to get better. We're going to be wearing masks for the rest of our lives. Everybody's going to die. They just don't have any hope. And then there's a group of people that at some point in time, when it comes to humanity, who in the world do we trust? And when you see a world full of chaos and a world full of just anxiety and a world full that just seems like it's overwhelming, there should be a second group of people. There should be a group of people that have peace because they trust in the Prince of Peace. There should be a group of people that's living a completely different life because their hope is not found in whoever the next president's going to be. And the hope is not found on a cure for the virus or a vaccine, whatever you want to call it. Their hope is not found in the things of this world, the economy of this world. Their hope's not found in, it's found in the Lord. And over here, not knowing who to trust when it comes to the things of this world, praise the Lord, we know who we can trust. So I was beginning the series, I was planning on beginning it tonight, looking at why the Bible is reliable and looking at some different truths. The Lord brought me to this thought is what Christians should have during these times. What Christians should have during these times. I know what might come to some of your minds is, oh, you should have a good bank account because you don't know what's going to happen. Or maybe you should own your own gun because who knows, they might be coming to your house someday. You know, what should Christians have during these times? And there's three things today I'd like to look at, and we've already mentioned them. They should have peace, they should have hope, and they should have trust. Even during times of anxiety, and even though there are times that people do not know what's going on in this world, we are people who know the truth. We know Jesus Christ. We know that God has a sovereign plan for all the ages. We know that the current events are but just a small part of an eternal purpose unfolding by God's timetable. Christians are people who know peace because they know the Prince of Peace. There are people who know hope because they have a risen Savior. They know they have a promise because they can trust God, and God has never failed or disappointed in the past. They know they can have courage because their confidence is not found in a political or economic process of men, but instead the powerful hand of God. My encouragement through this series is not to just trust the media and trust what everybody's telling us, but instead learn to trust in the Lord and that He's in control. Now, as we consider it inside the series, my plan is to talk a little bit about Bible prophecy. Most of you know that I'm not an expert when it comes to that. It's a very interesting topic, but looking at how the things that work in today, how taking a biblical worldview of the things that are going on today, a biblical worldview of the different things that seems like as is happening right in front of our face, to see how they apply and how the Bible, what the Bible says about it. But not just that, but also looking at different modern-day topics of today. What does the Bible's worldview when it comes to abortion or homosexuality or same-sex marriage? Even the biblical worldview of some of the different movements, people that are shouting today saying that they got to do this. Looking at things not from what the world sees it, not from how man sees it, but looking how the Bible looks at things. And as we look at it in a biblical way, it's important to get and understand what the Bible says and that we have a biblical worldview. Because we see so many different people out there that are chaotic, so many different people out there that seem unruly, so many people out there without hope, not knowing who to trust. And it all boils down to this. What is their worldview? Do you believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Because if you believe that God created the heaven and the earth, you know what happens? Right there, from the rest of your life, you have a God that you should serve. He is creator, He is Lord, He is master. Do you believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? These are important things to understand. And if you're living today, right now, what we're going through, you should have peace, you should have hope, and you should be able to trust in the Lord, just like you could maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago when things were in such a upheaval, when things didn't seem so down, or when things did not seem like they were so overwhelming. This is a day and time that a believer, a person with a biblical worldview, they don't have to worry. They should have peace. They should not have fearfulness. They have hope. And they should not be distrusting, but instead trusting the one who holds it all in His hand. Believing. It's sort of like many times we feel like we're spectators sitting in the front row watching all these things go right in front of our face, just with our eyes wide open, our mouths open, saying, wow, what in the world is going on? But I think if we look at it from a heavenly perspective, kind of get more like a blimp look at things, and looking at things from a biblical, just through the lens of the Bible, and say, wow, look at what's happening, because it's just unfolding right in front of us. John chapter 14, verse number 1, is one of those verses that Jesus is looking at these disciples, and they are devastated. Today, we may be a little bit overwhelmed. Could you put yourself where these 11 men were? Just follow Jesus for these 3 to 3.5 years, believed He was the Messiah, believed He was the answer to everything that they were looking for. They have forsaken everything. They had followed Him, and you come to the spot, He says, one of you is going to betray me. One of you, the leader of you, is going to deny me. And I'm leaving, and you can't come. Their hearts are troubled. And that's what He says in verse number 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So the first point is, they should have peace. And I want you to understand, I think this is a verse that's for today. It says, let not your heart be troubled. So I want to encourage you, in the day and time that we live in, our hearts do not have to be troubled. Because we believe in God, and because we believe in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. If you go later on in this chapter, it says in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave unto you, leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what the scriptures are saying, and Jesus is saying, and once again, their hearts are troubled. They're there, they don't know what's going on. And Jesus says, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. Everything's going according to our plan. The 11 disciples, when they looked at this and they saw this, hey, this wasn't part of our plan, Jesus. You were supposed to take over. You were supposed to become king. You're supposed to abolish the Roman throne and the Roman rule, and everything was supposed to be this way. Jesus says, you missed the whole point why I came. And sometimes when we consider what's going on in the world, we look at God and say, God, do you even see what's going on here? And God's saying, it's completely under control. I know exactly what's happening, and nothing is taking me by surprise. Now, here's your job. Don't let your heart be troubled. When in a world that's full of chaos, there is a world that needs to see a group of people not like this, that's overwhelmed and does not know what's going to happen and places all their hopes and all their dreams and all their trust in a man or in an election, or if they get something that they want, there should be another group of people that says, you know what? All this can be happening, but it's not going to affect my peace. I know him. I know the Prince of Peace. So this morning, I don't know what your life is like. I know a lot of people struggle with this sin that's called worry. So many people do it, they don't even think that it's a sin. But the scripture says in Philippians chapter number 4, and actually if you'd like to go ahead and take your Bible to Philippians chapter number 4, to another familiar passage of scripture. And in Philippians chapter number 4, the Bible says, be anxious or be careful for nothing. What the scripture is saying there is, don't worry. And today, when we where we live at, I hear people say, I don't know what's going to happen. And I can understand, because none of us really know what's going to happen except for what's laid out in Scripture. But they're saying in a worry, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be there tomorrow, what tomorrow's going to be like. What are we going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to have peace. Why are we going to have peace? Because the Scripture says we can have it. Look what it says in Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to go ahead and start in verse number 5. Wonderful passages of Scripture. Actually, we'll start in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you're not going to really be able to have joy and be able to rejoice in the Lord until you have the peace of God in your heart. And if you're really, truly going to be able to have joy, no matter what's happening in your life, it begins by seeing who he is and believing who he is and having peace in your heart. Because when you have peace in your heart, you can rejoice in the one you have the peace in. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then it says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's the opportunity that you can have peace. He says it right here in the scripture. This is the formula. This is what he's saying. If you want peace in your heart, if you're maybe someone who's worried, maybe someone who's concerned, maybe overwhelmed by all the things that are happening in this world or even in your own life, he's saying there's a way to have peace, and it's right there. First, you learn to rejoice. Then you learn that the Lord is at hand. That means he is near you, and that means he could return at any moment. Because of those reasons, we're not anxious for anything. We're not worrying about anything. But instead of worrying about what happens in our life, we're bringing to him, in verse number 6, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're bringing our concerns to God and saying, Lord, here they are yours, and I am thankful you're allowing me to go through this because I know you're the God of peace and that you can give me, as it says in verse number 7, a peace of God which passeth all understanding. What the Christians today and what biblical worldview people should be today is they should be a people that have peace. They are being a people that should demonstrate peace. There are people that should not be worried. There are not people that should be anxious or overwhelmed. They should be a people that have peace. So what is it that a Christian should have today? Or more importantly, what is a person with a biblical worldview should have? Say, Pastor, aren't they the same thing? I know a lot of Christians today, unfortunately, that aren't living by that biblical worldview. They're living by a worldview that has been pushed down their throat through news and media outlets. They're living with a different type of worldview. Yes, I understand that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but they have gone away from where peace really is found. That's found in Jesus Christ. Instead, they're worried, they're anxious, they're upset, they're overwhelmed, and they're angst about, hey, what is going on in this world? And the scriptures, it's a wonderful passage of scripture, and he says, the peace of God, in verse number 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, what a wonderful promise it is there. If for some reason you're struggling with what's going on in the world today, do you have the peace of God in your life? Do you know him? A person who knows him can have peace. It's available. That's when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you have the one who can bring you peace in your life? Have there ever been a moment in time in your life where you saw yourself as a sinner and that you knew that that sin, there was a penalty and that Christ died to pay that sin debt for you? This morning, do you have peace? Now, drop down to verse number 9, and I like the connection that's here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. We can have peace today. I tell you, what should a Christian, what a person with a biblical worldview should have today? They should have peace. It's something that should be demonstrated. He said, Pastor, I don't know how to have peace amongst all this turmoil. Pastor, I don't know where the money's going to come in. I don't know if I might get sick. I don't know if this happens and this happens. Are we going to live by fear or are we going to live by faith? Because biblical worldview people are going to be people that have peace in their heart and peace in their life, a peace that passes all understanding, even a peace that sometimes we cannot understand ourselves. We look around and we see all the things that are going on and we're wondering, how in the world can I have this peace? How in the world can I continue on? How in the world can I make it? And we realize it's the peace of God, the God of peace. And I like that phrase there. You see the God of peace in verse number 9. And in verse number 7, it says the peace of God. It's only the God of peace that can give you that peace. That's something a Christian should have today. Is that something you have in your heart and life? As we're considering what a biblical worldview is today, Pastor, tell me what this group is saying. Pastor, tell me what do you think are happening here. Pastor, do you think this is the mark of the beast? I hear all these different things. But the question is, do you have peace in your heart today? Are you able to worship him? Are you able to rejoice in him? Because the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it's the God of peace, is with you. So not only is it that they should have peace, the next thing they should have is also hope. They should have hope. Go ahead and take your Bible to Titus, the book of Titus. Titus isn't that far over to your right. Just keep on going. If you don't know, Titus isn't one of those bigger books, but it comes right after 2 Timothy there. Not only should they have peace, they should have hope. See, in the human perspective, there's nothing but skepticism. There's nothing but frustration. There's nothing but worry. There is not understanding, there is concern. There's no hope. But here in the scriptures, over and over in the scriptures, it tells us about how we can have hope. Now, I know some people think, yeah, I like that word hope. I hope that I get $1 million. That's more wishful thinking. Biblical hope is confidence. I have hope in God because of what God has done before and because of what God has promised. And my hope is found in the fact what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Look what it says here in Titus chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So a God that cannot lie has promised us the opportunity of eternal life. So Pastor, what does that have to do with having hope today? We serve a God that cannot lie. We serve a God that has written in his word over and over that he is coming back. And that he is coming back for his church. And he's coming back to rule and reign in this earth. That he is coming back. And we have that hope. You say, Pastor, how can you be so confident of that hope? It says in 1 Peter 1:21, whom by him we do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. My hope isn't found in a party. My hope is not found in a bank account. My hope is not found in my own talents or abilities. My hope is found in a God because he raised Jesus from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have a lively hope, a living hope. What is that living hope? Because Jesus said he was going to come. He was going to be born of a virgin. We believe that happened. We believe that he was born by Mary, born of Mary. And then he rose again from the dead. Because all the truths that are found there, we can have confidence in God and we can have hope in God. Praise the Lord. In fact, he says, because of the resurrection, we have a lively hope. Look what it says in chapter 2 here, verse number 13. It even says in the scripture, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for that. Why are we looking for that? Because it's our hope. That's where our confidence is in. My confidence in it is not in the fact that they can find something to help with the COVID, because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another virus. The Bible speaks of pestilence. The Bible speaks of things that are happening. And when we look at things through a biblical worldview and we see things, hey, these things are just happening the way that they're supposed to, it's not something I'm worried about. It's something I'm encouraged by. It's not something I'm getting upset about and wondering what in the world is God doing. Instead, I'm saying, hey, God, it's nice to see you doing what you've already said you were going to do. So in the reality, what do Christians should have today? They should have peace, but they also should have hope. Take your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians is back to your left-hand side. It's on the other side of 1 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the rapture. And the rapture is referring to them about not being ignorant concerning these things. At the end of this, he uses these words, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's go all the way up to verse number 13. He says, but I would not have you be ignorant. I don't think God wants any of us to be ignorant. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit to be able to teach us his word. If we're ignorant today of the things of God, it's because we choose not to study the things of God. He says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, talking about those who have passed on already, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's saying here, hey, look, you don't have to sorrow like somebody else that has no hope. You don't have to live a life and have the same feelings about someone else who has passed away and they don't know God. I've had the privilege of doing a lot of funerals over the years. And I'm thankful for the privilege and the opportunity because I always get a chance to explain what it means to be a Christian, to be able to go to heaven. But I've sat in rooms before that where there's been people who have rejoiced in the fact that someone died. They're not rejoicing because they're not going to miss them. They're rejoicing the fact that they have hope and they know that they're going to see him again. It's a completely different feeling. It's a completely different experience of being a part of a service and a funeral where they know where they're going and they know where the person who passed away is at that day. It's a time of rejoicing. It's time, yeah, you're going to miss them. Yes, you're going to honor them. But it's a time, hey, look, I can comfort one another. Hey, we're going to see them again. I've stood at the head of a line many a times trying to be there for whoever the closer relative was. And I don't know how many times I've heard, oh, we're going to see him again. What a comfort that is. And that's what he says here at the verse number 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And what you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with what we're going on today? Well, he's written in his word all these things so we can comfort one another. We see what's happening in the virus. We see what's happening in these movements. We see what's happening in the political realm. But you know what? We can comfort one another because God's already told us about it. God's already said it's going to happen. God has already given us and shown us throughout the years we can have our hope. Let's read the whole passage here in verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. So do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for your sins? It's not just believing in God, it's what do you believe about him? Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what he's saying? As I said in verse number 13, there is a group of people out there that do not have hope. The people that are yelling today, the people that are rioting, the people that are doing all these things, they don't have a hope that they're living for. Their hope is found here in this world. But he's saying here in the scripture, he says, look, you can comfort someone who has hope with these words. Hey, we're going to see him again someday. We're going to be with him in heaven. Do you have that hope today? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Because without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, when a person passes away, there is no real way to comfort someone. As I said before, probably the majority of my funerals have been people who have professed to be saved and are on their way to heaven. Only a few people I've had the privilege of doing the funeral of the person saying, we know he wasn't a Christian. He didn't live it for you. He didn't act like it. So how do you encourage someone like that? You encourage him with, you don't have to be like that. That person that is gone, and almost always in a funeral, I will say, that person, wherever they're at today, whether it's heaven or hell, they would want you to be right with God when you died. Doesn't matter. You know, some people tell these pretty stories about hell. Oh, we're going to go down there and have a party. They have no clue what hell is like. It's without God, separated from God. But it's have no clue. And the scripture is saying here, you have hope here because you have hope. You can go up and encourage and say, hey, we're not of this world. We don't have to live like we're of this world. We don't have to act like someone who has no hope, because that's what this group is acting like. They need to see a group of people that know that they have hope, and their hope is found in the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because he was born of a virgin, just like they said hundreds of years beforehand, just like he said he was nailed to the cross, just like he said he rose again, and we can believe that he's coming back for his people someday. Not only is he coming back for his people, he's coming to rule and reign someday also. I want to encourage you today, looking for that blessed hope. And in these words here, he says, look, there are people which have no hope. A believer is not, you're not someone that doesn't have hope. Stop living like there is no hope of tomorrow. There is a hope of tomorrow. And it says to be with the Lord. I love that in verse number 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The day is coming that we're going to be with the Lord. My hopes and dreams are not found in this world. It's found in the fact that someday I will always be with him. Praise the Lord for that. A Christian today, remember, a biblical worldview. If you're going to live with a biblical worldview, you should have peace. You should have hope. And last but not least, you should have trust. You should have trust. Scripture says over and over that we can trust in him. How do we know we can trust in him? Because he's never failed us. He's never lied to us. It's not like, some of the times, you know, our trust not found in someone who is a man that they can lie. As we saw in Titus chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Together, we can discover that God is alive and God is in control of the affairs of man. We can discover by looking at the Bible and looking at prophecy a quiet confidence, an enduring hope that only a child of God can experience. Though we may be surrounded by unrest and those that are unsettled, we can discover that by having a biblical worldview, we can trust in his promises and seek him for wisdom. David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 25:2, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. What some people need to do is say, hey, I'm afraid, I'm discouraged, I'm overwhelmed. We need to repent and say, Lord, what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. I'm giving that over to you. Lord, help me not to be afraid. Lord, help me to trust in thee so I won't be ashamed. Because it's a shame when God has saved you and has put you on the road to heaven that we are living in fearful times, that we can't live by faith because of all the different circumstances they're having. And God says, hey, rise above those circumstances, have peace, have hope, and learn that you can trust in me. He says in Proverbs chapter number 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's what's going to come, because it's not going to get easier. There's going to become more and more things that come our way that we're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to trust the Lord with this, or am I going to trust what they're telling me? Am I going to have a biblical worldview, or am I going to buy into all the different things that culture and what the culture trends are trying to tell me? No. If I'm going to have a biblical worldview, it says, lean not into thy own understanding and all thy ways. And that means all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a promise there. If you're willing to trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you're willing to acknowledge him in all your ways, he says, I'll direct your path. People's like, what are we supposed to do next? It's found right there. He says, I want you to have peace. I want you to remember the hope that you have in me. Don't put your hope in this world. And then I also want you to learn to trust in me. I began thinking and considering as I'm looking at this and as I'm reading and trying to study and learn more about Bible prophecy and try to become more knowledgeable about things. It's just been an encouragement to see how God has been true and faithful throughout the years. And we're going to look at a little bit tonight at some of the prophecies that were fulfilled in before the New Testament. Some of this encourages our faith. That, you know, he talked about a guy named Cyrus hundreds of years before he was ever born and said what Cyrus was going to do. And then Cyrus found out, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. Hundreds of years later, how does that happen? It's because there's a God that we can trust. You know, he talked about how the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin, going to be born in Bethlehem, all those different things over and over. It shows us we can trust in God. How come it is that we stop trusting in him for our day-to-day lives. How common it is that we feel like we have to do things according to our ways and our plans. It says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. As if we're going to be really, truly biblical worldview people, people that are living during these times, how is a person supposed to have a biblical worldview when it seems like nothing is going through the Bible anymore? This is what we should have. This is how it should begin. We should be seeking peace, having hope, and trusting in him. Now, as we trust in him, it'd be hard for me to leave the message without saying, if we're going to have a biblical worldview, and we believe that the time could be closer than it's ever been, which obviously it is, shouldn't we be telling people? I mean, in all reality, if it all boils down that Christ could come back, and obviously I'm not going to guess the time because that's unbiblical, but if Christ could come back at any moment or any time, why aren't we telling more people? Scripture says in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation nearer than we ever believed. The Bible says, for the Son of Man cometh an hour when ye think not. And it's kind of funny, we're thinking that he could come now. You imagine that it means that there are people who are just saying, oh yeah, you know, however many months ago, we were thinking, man, he could come back today. But things seems like they get a little worse, a little bit worse, or a little bit, maybe a little bit better, a little bit worse, a little bit better. And we become lethargic. We become apathetic. Instead of looking for that blessed hope, we've guessed, well, maybe this is just a new normal. Normal Christianity is not people who do not read their Bible. Normal Christianity is not people who do not pray. Normal Christianity is not people who do not witness. Normal Christianity is someone what he is, has Christ living in them, and they understand the instructions of the Word of God, and they will read their Bible, they will pray, and they will want to be a witness. Carnal Christianity is someone that's like most people are, not reading their Bibles, not praying, not telling others. Normal Christianity. You go back to that little parable, it talked about how the master came in all day long after doing work, and he told a servant, oh, go ahead, go take care of yourself. And he says, that's not what the master does. The master tells the servant, you go fix my dinner, you go take care of the things, and then you can eat. He says, and that's normal. That's what's expected. And then towards the end, it's found, I think, in the book of Luke, it says, you've only done what you were supposed to do. Sometimes we think we're super Christian just because we show up at church. But we're only doing what we're technically supposed to do. And if we are really, truly living in these times, the last times, shouldn't that move us and motivate us to want to be more like him? To lean on him more, not trust him less, trust him more, and tell people, Christ could come back. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so it will come out of you naturally. I want to encourage you this morning. As I said, I don't know if it's going to be Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. Don't know if it's going to be, you know, every week. But we're going to begin looking at different things, and we're going to continue on it tonight. And we've alluded to the fact that it's reliable. We can trust in Bible prophecy because it's been true before. And we're going to look at how some people respond to Bible prophecy tonight. We're going to look at some different truths that are found in there. And I want to encourage you tonight to be here or listen tonight and be a part of the services, because everybody wants to hear about Bible prophecies. But how are you going to respond to it? Yeah, I want to know all about all those things in the book of Revelation. And once again, it's the only book of the Bible, so you'll be blessed by reading it. I know I've been blessed by reading all the Bible, but blessed by reading it. I want to know all about, you know, Christ is coming back. You know it could be any time. Let's act off of that knowledge that we have, and let's try to tell somebody. And if you don't know Christ today, you don't have that hope. You can't have that peace. You might have a limited peace for a little while, but it's not the peace of God that passeth all understanding, because the God of peace didn't give it to you. But also, you don't have the hope that's found, that only found in Jesus Christ. In fact, he rose from the dead. So trust him. And if you're going to trust him with all your heart. Don't just do it part of the way. Give your whole heart over him, which also means telling people about him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Lord, in the challenging days and times that we live in, Let us be people who have a biblical worldview. Let's not be sitting on the sidelines, but instead let's go up to the heavenlies and be seated with you and see how everything has been orchestrated, how everything is coming according to your plan and your purpose. And Lord, help us to rejoice in the fact and comfort one another with these words. It's only going to be a little while longer. We know we're going to see him again. As we listen to the words of Jesus telling his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he talked about going away and preparing a special place. Help us today, Lord. There are a lot of people that says Christians should do this and Christians should be this. And this is what a Christian needs. This is what a Christian should have. But Lord, help us to understand the basic things of a person with a biblical worldview will be one that has peace, will be one that has hope, and will be one that will have trust in you. Yes, we need steadfastness. Yes, we need to be spirit-led. We need all those things. But it begins with having that peace of only knowing you. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you today, Lord, we pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching and teaching of your word. And God, to those that are believers today that maybe have been dealing with worry and fear and anxiety, Lord, help us to take again a look at that peace that only you offer. Help us to truly give over those things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And let you take care of our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to be a person of worry, whether it's the troubling times around us or troubling things that are going on inside us or medical needs or financial needs. Help us, Lord, to have that peace. And Lord, help us to relish in that hope. Not a maybe so salvation, but a confidence, because Christ rose from the dead, we can confidently say he's coming back. He's never broken a promise, and he never will. But Lord, help the peace and hope that we have turn into trust. Not just trust that you're coming back, but trust in our day-to-day lives. God, we need you today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to have that peace that only you can give. Believe in that hope that only you can bring. And trust in a God that is worthy and the only one worthy of our trust. In Jesus' name, amen.